Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. There must be something in the water in Devonport, something that gives rise to a disproportionately high number of talented and driven young musicians. Names like the Checks and the Electric Confectioners, and now the Early Birds, whose first album, Favourite Fears, has just hit the shops. I spoke to the Early Birds' Philip Kostovich and Jared Asher earlier in the week. Guys, on the way in here this evening, I was having a quick look at a review by Gary Steele. What have you done to that guy?
I don't know. We must have been worst enemies, rivals in a past life or something.
You've been beating up his kids at school or some grandkids at school.
Knows,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like he'd had a prostate problem that night and he'd been up all night, kind of had to go to the toilet five times and got up in the morning and wrote the review. He didn't even like the name of your album. You know that you've got a problem with a reviewer when he goes, what does that even mean? Favourite Fears is the name of your album.
It is.
What does it mean?
It was about us getting over playing to an older crowd. We're still young. And we started when we were about 14, and everybody we played to was quite a lot older than us.
It's been a big year for you, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
A year from 14 to 15. Yeah.
It has, you know. We've matured a lot. But yeah, it was us trying to get over the fear of you know, we would get on stage and people would be like laughing at us and going, oh my God, these guys are so young, this is going to be crap.
Yeah.
And then trying to prove them wrong. So it was turning that fear into something that we could use and making it a favourite fear.
Take that, Gary Steele. So you've got an answer. I mean, the sound of your band is, you'd have to say, reasonably accessible, which is a code word for fairly commercial.
Yeah.
But it's got a touch of the indie, and there a touch of the English, I thought, and sounds, you know, not dissimilar to some early Britpop sort of slash something like Muse. It's a big stadium sound. How long does it take you to get that sort of thing and to make it sound right live?
Well, I mean, we've been working on the songs for quite a while and changing them up here and there and doing stuff to them and piecing them together. And then, I guess it just really came down to the recording, really, and we had a really good team, Greg Hafer and Clint Murphy. And, yeah,
Who are based in England.
Yeah, who are based in England.
You won't help me. Did the album go in or come out sounding a lot different than it did going in? Through the producing machine?
Yeah, well, I mean, we had some stuff changed. I mean, as producers do, they go, yeah, we want to change this, make this song a bit more, give it a bit more pop sensibility, which a lot of our songs, I think, were lacking a bit, making them a bit more radio-friendly. But Greg Hafer, our producer, he gave us the ability to put strings on there, and he did some percussion, some really crazy stuff like even bongos on one of the songs and everything. So,
did it sound bigger? I mean, were you already sounding pretty big on stage? Pretty big stadium sound?
It's much the same, really. We haven't done anything too extravagant that we can't capture live, really.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
to us, live is one of the most important things to us. So we try and have the balance between album and live. So
I was actually having a drink somewhere the other day and saw you sound checking. So I got a little bit of a sneak peek of you playing at a bar in Auckland, sort of relatively sort of smallish, but well, not a big bar for Auckland, but not a stadium.
Right.
Does your sound translate, you know, how well does it translate to those smaller venues? I mean, obviously you're preparing to play Wembley, but until then.
It translates good. I mean, we've played the smallest bit. We've played in a room probably this big.
Yeah,
which is crazy, and
just,
I mean,
which for the listener is about 4 meters by 3 meters. I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
Not huge. 12
and then we've
meters.
Played some big stuff like Power Station. So I mean, yeah, it's for us, it's worked.
You're looking forward to the big day,
Yeah, I can't wait.
Big day, big day out.
When that day comes along,
yeah,
it'd be great.
Yeah.
Probably be this year coming, wouldn't it?
I'd like to think so.
You'd have to imagine with an album with, you know, that sort of sensibility, with a major label behind you. You know, you can't be doing too badly.
And
So, tell me about some of the stuff on the songs. I don't want to keep on going on about Gary Steele, but one of his criticisms is that you really didn't have anything interesting to say. I disagree. Tell me about I Killed the DJ.
Well, that was sort of like our social commentary on where pop music is sitting at the moment.
Yeah.
I'd been in the car and they had Kings Leon on, and then straight after they switched to a Miley Cyrus song. And I was just thinking that was so weird how those two genres are so far apart from each other, but they can be put right next to each other on a radio station. Not to bag Miley Cyrus.
I was
going to
say, it was so weird because they didn't play you as the natural transition between the two. Is that the problem?
No, to me, it was a weird thing to hear, and it's sort of just like a tongue-in-cheek social commentary on popular culture.
Because I wasn't sure if it was DJ as in the sort of person that plays music in a nightclub, that sort of DJ. You know,
it's
the only reason people normally kill them is because they steal their girlfriends. Damn DJs with their CDs. I see. Well, it is interesting, isn't it, what gets played on the radios these days and like that. Is that a good thing, though? Because, I mean, it would be a bit, if there was just a stream of 24/7 bubblegum pop, you know, coming out, you'd hate that as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you will get the group of people who do like Kings Leon and Miley Cyrus just the same, you know, and I think that's where radio is getting quite interesting these days, because they start to pull in, you know, a bit more of the alternative music like Florence and the Machine, this OS the Swimming Pool band, you know, and they're putting it next to people like Miley Cyrus.
I certainly noticed that having come from student radio in the past, that over the years, commercial radio started stealing all the good stuff from student radio.
Yeah.
You know, the White Stripes and bands like this that became very popular.
Yeah.
You're part of you're from Devonport. Are you part of the Devonport sound?
We've been said that we are.
Yeah.
We haven't gone out and put ourselves into it. We've just been told.
Because, I mean, I suppose, what is the Chicks, isn't it?
The Chicks, Whitebirds and Lemons.
Yeah.
Electric and Fictioners.
Yeah. What is it about Devonport, apart from the nice views and maybe having parents that can afford to buy you guitars, that produces good bands, do you think, can you?
It's the community.
Yeah, there's places for you to go and hone your art, really.
Because there are art centres and things like that.
Yeah, the Depot Art Space, which we work with a lot, and we hired spaces from them to practice. And so, I mean, they have the stuff there.
Is that run by or involved by Ian Morris, Tex Pistol, and
no.
No, was he involved there somewhere?
It's
Ricky Morris was
Ricky Morris.
Morris there, yeah.
Okay.
He used to run the recording studio there, yeah. But Linda Blinker.
So it's a nice little sort of incubator, Devonport, you think?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And you can't get out, really, can you? I mean, Gary stops at midnight. Where are you going to go?
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. So you've got the album. It's just come out. And how's it been going so far?
Pretty good.
Today's the day where we find out how well.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Well, so we'll see.
Yeah. You've been playing live. Obviously, as I say, I saw you at a bar. Oh, I saw you sound checking at a bar. Were you doing a U2 song in your sound check?
Yeah.
Do you play that as part of the set as well, or is that just
we just put that in for that show was the release party show at Sale Street.
I thought. And Bullet the Blue Sky.
Bullet the Blue Sky.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So you'd be doing a live tour to support this?
Yeah, we're going to Wellington on Friday to do a couple shows down there, and then we have a tour with Op Shop on the 17th of September. This kicks off.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's a good band to be going around the country.
Very good band, yeah.
And nice guys, too. Earlybirds.co.nz is your website. I went there, though, to get some information. There's not much there at the moment, apart from something that tries to suck your email address.
Yeah, it's under construction.
I see, good. Well, that'll be sorted out soon, though, won't it? Otherwise, you can go to myspace.com. Earlybirds.
Yep.
Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
You're very nice.
I like the album. It's good.
Cheers.
Anything you want to say to Gary Steele? No.
Nah.
Keep on having a great day, man, because you're very happy.
That's the Early Birds. Their debut album, Favourite Fears, is in stores now. Well, that's all we've got time for on this week's show. If there's something you missed or you'd like to hear again, pop along to our podcast, publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Damien Christie.
And I've been Russell Brown. Thank you. New Zealand On Air.